Welcome to The Conflict Show. My name is Beth Myers, and today's guest is Meredith Richardson, president of the Maine Association of Mediators. We're here today to begin a conversation about conflict. Now, this will be a long time, ongoing conversation about conflict, what it is, how it works, who's involved, how it escalates, how it gets resolved, and the opportunities it presents. So to begin, we thought we would talk about conflict and how sometimes, despite our best intentions, our best motives, we are the ones that create conflict. Now, Meredith posted a blog recently on conflict in your New Year's resolution, and one of the key sentences in that blog really hit home. It said how it's something about how in our environment we're surrounded by a multitude of triggers, life triggers.
Yes. And so I wanted to thank you, first of all, Beth, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
And glad you could be here.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. So when I'm talking about triggers, sometimes people talk about triggers and they talk about negative triggers. So, you know, what triggers you to get angry or things like that. But I'm talking about triggers at just their most basic level. We are creatures of habit, and when we see certain things, when we smell certain things, when we hear certain things, it automatically triggers a response in us. So, you know, if you are someone who brushes your teeth every night before bed, then if you brush your teeth, you could likely be tired because now it's time for bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's that type of a thing happening.
And habits.
And it's those habits. And so then when you change your habits, then you're impacting the potential habits of everyone with whom you come into contact with that new changed habit. And so you can inadvertently cause conflict by doing so.
So your blog gave a really good example. The habit of walking a dog and how that might impact your entire household.
Yes.
Even the neighborhood, I guess.
It actually could impact the neighborhood. I could go all the way down that path for you. But starting simply with the husband and the dog, what I had given as an example in the blog was a woman who had made a New Year's resolution. She typically did not put her own needs first. She would put other people's needs first. And so the New Year's resolution was to recognize her needs as being equal to those of others. And with that, then she looked at her life and she saw that she had been walking the dog all the time. And it was actually her husband's dog. Mm-hmm. And she had taken this on, but she really did not want this job anymore. And so she asked her husband to walk the dog. And this threw him for a loop because he didn't want to walk the dog. That was not his job. That was not, you know, it was not in their pattern that that's what happened. And so for him, this was coming completely out of nowhere. He had not made a New Year's resolution that he was going to start walking the dog. He had not been part of this discussion with her. He had not made a New Year's resolution to look more at their life and how to better take care of her needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there would automatically be the push, but why do I have to walk the dog? And the dog has the expectation she's going to walk the dog because she's always walked the dog. And so now she's out of her comfort zone because she's advocating for her need, which she hasn't done before. And at the same time, she's getting pushback from her husband because he's used to her walking the dog. He's not used to her asking for this. And she's also looking at the dog who's expecting her to walk the dog.
So pushback from the dog as well. In a way.
I mean, it's definitely, yeah. It was definitely, you know, the dog just not understanding what is going on. And so it's the nonverbal pushback,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be something where people will simply not understand what's going on. People who are not triggered in response to it, who don't end up feeling like they're getting into the fight, flight, or freeze mode,
mm-hmm.
could just be inquisitive. So it could be that the dog is just looking at her wondering or is trying to cajole her to walk the dog, doing the things that would typically prompt the dog getting walked. But with the husband, then it is sort of that triggering of there's some pushback because you're trying to get someone to do something that person does not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he did not take on this role. And so she's the one asking for him to do this. So then it's, yes, more pushback. And so then there could be greater conflict.
Mm-hmm. So if I hear you properly, you're saying that in this case, the woman's innocent New Year's resolution to take better care of herself, and one of the things she was going to do was to get somebody else to walk the dog. She didn't want to walk the dog anymore. Other people's, and even the dog's, patterns were disrupted. They didn't understand the change because, as you pointed out, they hadn't been consulted, and who can consult the dog anyway?
Right.
And so now there's conflict.
Right.
How did the conflict manifest in your example, or just how do you imagine it would have manifested? What did they, aside from him saying, I don't want to take the dog, did it get nasty? Did it get, what happened?
So it would really depend on the people involved. You know, if you had someone who really had difficulty advocating for herself, that may be the only time that she brings up the discussion of walking the dog because it may be too painful for her to advocate for her needs like that. She may choose to do something different. She may decide that there are other fights that she can have.
So she'd go back to walking the dog.
And she'd go back to walking the dog. Others, you know, people, it's amazing what can be the line in the sand that someone will say, I am not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be that the dog walking becomes that line. And so every time the dog needs to be walked, it, you know, that discussion has to happen until there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people do a variety of things. You see it also coming up some when someone decides to lose weight. You know, New Year's resolution, typical New Year's resolution is to lose weight. And if it's the person who typically prepares the food for the family and the family is used to getting certain food, and then all of a sudden they're getting more salads and less fried chicken.
And no dressing.
And no dressing. Yes. There could be some pushback. Because the family did not necessarily sign on to lose weight.
Right.
Right? And at the same time, the person who's preparing the meals does not necessarily want to prepare two sets of meals. It can be very tempting to prepare the fried chicken for the family and then prepare the salad for yourself. So, you know, trying to have it be something where everyone is working together. But it is when we make these decisions thinking about just what how we're impacting ourselves and we forget about how it's going to impact the world around us, small and large, that's when we can get into trouble and it can lead to conflict.
So to avoid that kind of inter-family conflict, it sounds like communication before you go ahead and make the change might be helpful.
It could be helpful, and you'll
but
also
may not always be helpful.
It could be helpful, and you could still be having conflict. I think that it's really the recognition that when you do this, because you are impacting other people's patterns, you still could get pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the best thing to do, some people don't like change of any sort. Some people do like change, but most of us, when we are experiencing change, like to feel like we have some control over it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were talking about having that conversation first, that is helpful because that is giving the other person some control over the situation to be able to say, well, what do you want to do? You know, I need to lose weight. I need to lose 20 pounds. So I'm going to be preparing meals differently. What do you want to do about that? Do you want to have a voice in what I'm choosing? Do you want to prepare some of the meals? You know, there are things that I can't have around that would be triggers for me. I don't want to smell pizza. Pizza would be a big problem for me. So could we not have pizza during this time until I'm, you know, able to smell pizza and not want to eat the pizza?
Right. So you brought up a key word that in my experience is involved in a lot of conflict. And the key word is control. We all like control.
Yes.
We like to control ourselves anyway, and sometimes we like to control those around us.
Yes.
And sometimes these control issues are major contributors to more, I don't want to say more significant, but bigger impact type conflicts, like this family situation you've shared with the dog, and then you get into meals. I mean, over years, sometimes an accumulation of small things like that can deteriorate the quality of a relationship, particularly a marital relationship. And people may end up in a divorce or separation setting. A lot of times that comes down to control of themselves.
Absolutely. And it comes down to wanting control over the other person. So, as you know, I do a lot of divorce mediation.
Yes, in two states.
Yes, in New Hampshire and Maine. Yeah. And so sometimes people will say to me as the mediator, you need to make him or her do this, right? That, and I will say, I have a sort of a standard thing of, I don't have a magic wand. I'm sure that when the two of you were happily married, you tried to get this person to change their behavior in this fashion.
To walk the dog.
To walk the dog, for example.
To eat the meal. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yes, I did. And I said, and through all that time, when they loved you very much, when you were happily married, you could not change that behavior. No, I could not. Well, then I cannot change that behavior now. And you will not be able to change that behavior as the divorced spouse. Not happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there is that recognition of, I only have a limited amount of control in my life. I like to have control over me. I don't even necessarily have that. I certainly don't have control over what other people do.
Mm-hmm.
So I can try to influence to a certain extent. But that's the best I can do. Ultimately, I don't have that control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the conflict in our lives that we sometimes create innocently, we may be imposing ourselves unintentionally on someone else's ability to control themselves.
Yes.
And that may be part of what leads to a potential conflict, because they're saying, hey, you didn't ask me if I'd walk the dog.
Yes.
Or if I'd like to eat this dressingless salad.
Right. Exactly.
So, and ways to deal with that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I mean, there can be a cascading effect. So I would say my inspiration for this blog was actually twofold.
Mm-hmm.
There was a conflict coach was talking about one of her clients who had been trying to make positive changes in terms of how he interacted with others with respect to conflict. And there was pushback from people who knew him that were saying, I don't know if I know you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he was worried that he was going to be losing relationships as a result of changing his behavior. And he didn't know whether he should be mourning the loss or celebrating being able to change in this way. And so my thoughts on that were, well, really, it's two parts. You can be changing your behavior, which will adversely impact perhaps some of your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may lose some of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, because you're changing your behavior, you may strengthen other relationships.
Or build new ones.
Mm-hmm. And build new ones and be celebrating gaining those. And so it's not an either or with respect to change. It's a both and. There is the mourning of the loss. There is something that you, because you are changing, there is something that is likely to be lost. And at the same time, there is something to be celebrated in what is gained, and it's being able to balance both of those things. And the other inspiration for this was over the Christmas holidays, my family changed the family tradition of when people got together.
That's a big one.
Yes. And so it was not something that was discussed. There were unilateral decisions made to change the meals. And so my response to it was that, okay, so if that is now open, if we no longer have this tradition of doing it at this specific time and in this way and with these people, then I also have the option of doing something entirely different, because now I don't have to follow the tradition that we have always done, because we've now changed the tradition. And that was really stressful for a good percentage of my family. And so I had a lot of calls, the 23rd and the 24th, with people uncomfortable with what I had done. And the conversations went very differently depending on how uncomfortable people were with it, how open they were to hearing why I was doing it, versus how much they just wanted me to do what I was supposed to do.
What they knew, that pattern, that brings you right back to the beginning of what you started to say in your blog. Just for a moment, I want to remind those who are listening with us that this is The Conflict Show. My name is Beth Myers, and today's guest is Meredith Richardson, president of the Maine Association of Mediators. She's also a mediator, a facilitator, an attorney, and she works in two states, Maine and New Hampshire. So now Meredith was just telling us about how sometimes when we change our patterns with all good intent, we may be creating conflict. And she was just sharing with us about a holiday family change in their holiday meals. And I guess there had been a routine for many years, and now that routine was changed that impacted even the menu. And I'm curious, Meredith, if it's something, for example, if you had always brought the apple pie, but now this year you felt you had the freedom to bring lemon meringue or not a pie at all. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that caused such a rift in your family? Because this is so common. It's common family conflict.
So I could tell you, my family has already had to deal with things like lactose intolerance. I've already caused those problems.
Okay.
In terms of the meals.
So no dairy, all right?
So
almond milk is great.
But this was really about, people wanting to have Christmas at their own house and not wanting to swap off Christmas.
Oh, you used to travel from house to house?
We would alternate where Christmas was.
Okay.
And so someone wanted it to be always at their house. Uh-huh. And so decided that we could have Christmas separately. And so then it was navigating
how do you do dinner?
That was going to look. And then would we be getting together, and what would we be doing when we got together, and things like that. And then that caused another person to say, oh, well, there are too many people, so now I want to have two shifts. So we were doing Christmas Eve dinner at two separate shifts at one person's house. So it all got a little crazy.
Yeah.
And I did not want to participate in the new time on Christmas Eve, which was a problem. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to participate in the new meeting for Christmas dessert and gifts, because it just didn't appeal to me. It
didn't feel like Christmas?
It didn't bring together the family the way that I wanted it to be. It was not going to be a positive experience for me. So I had one of my cousins called me, and I talked to her. And then after she got off the phone with me, then my other cousin called me, and I talked to her. And then the next day my brother called me, and I talked to him. And then Christmas Eve, my father called, and he had the hardest time with the change. And I would say that I was not at my best, because now I had had four difficult conversations in the span of 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. And you're skilled at it.
And
I'm serious.
I like to think I'm skilled at it.
So it's hard. Well, there's a misperception that just because you have training and you help, it doesn't mean that you too don't have these feelings and these challenges.
Right.
Because you do.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes. So and he also, though, was the one who was least able to hear my side, and really just wanted me to do what he wanted me to do.
Keep the peace.
It wasn't so much keep the peace. The peace was not a problem because I had talked to my cousins. It was, he is very resistant to change. Mm-hmm. And I was not doing what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm. So working through these family conflicts and challenges around change, there was a reason for the change. There's a reason somebody thought there needed to be a change. And the communication was difficult. It was frequent. It was careful. And sometimes it sounds like it was emotional.
Yes.
Yet here we are in January, about a month later. It's clearly passed. How did it go? Do you feel the family ultimately came together, worked it through, had good times with each other? How do you think it worked?
I think that...
And are there takeaways for others? So, sorry, two-part question.
Okay. It became really challenging. The last conversation with my father was really awful. So the other conversations went fine because with my cousins, I was able, they still maintained the curiosity. So even though we were talking about a painful subject and it was painful for them to be hearing and it was painful for me to be talking about, we were mm-hmm. still able to stay in that and not get triggered and not have it be that either of us was going to be saying, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. It was just saying, you know, given where it is, this is what I'd like to do differently. And they had initiated the change in terms of having the two dinners. So it was, I think they were able to process that why it was like this. But also we just, you know, we have that kind of relationship where we can have that tough discussion and we can still be close.
So there's some keys there. I know I just interrupted you and I apologize for that, but I think it's important for people who are learning about more about identifying themselves around conflict is that when you're dealing with this in your difficult family situation in holidays, whether it's Christmas or any other holiday for any other person, the respect that you had for each other to have the conversations, you respected each other's positions, needs for proposed change or in not even proposed, the change that was made.
Right.
And the honesty, you said you were able to stay with the issues, not allow that to trigger other emotions and tangents, which
yes.
sounds critical to your success, even though it was difficult.
Yes. And that is the thing is it's... We have a very honest relationship, very honest family. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a problem, if it's a problem enough to be a problem, if that makes sense, then you're going to hear about it because we're not the type to sort of tell a little white lie or a big white lie to get out of something. So mm-hmm. I could have said instead, I'm not feeling well.
Right.
And
classic.
I could have avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I did not have to walk into this little quagmire. I could have just done what was expected of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's avoiding in a different way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's putting my needs second.
Back to the dog walker.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so by being the one to say, okay, this does not meet my needs, so I'm not going to be participating, then it is having that honest, difficult conversation
mm-hmm.
and having the relationship be important enough and strong enough that you can have that and that you can come out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my cousins, what we did was we set up a different day to get together. We got together on New Year's
mm.
and took my nephews out to the movies together.
Fun.
So we have navigated it well. We're still in contact. Things are fine. With my brother and my father, there was much more of a need from each of them to get me to do what I was supposed to do.
In their minds? The control thing?
Yes.
Okay.
It was not about why I wasn't doing it. It was about I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those conversations did not go as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed clear with what I was saying, which is that I can't do this. And we have, you know, things that did get still worked out. We have good relations. But it was worked out very differently. It did not feel as good at the end of those conversations. And I'm not even sure that it felt good at the end of the conversations with my cousins, but we had, you know, we did work through it. We had that full.
And you've had follow-up with them.
Yes. And I've had follow-up with my brother and my father too. I just, I didn't feel heard ever by my father. And I did feel heard by my cousins.
And therein is another key point that you brought up. You've brought up a lot of key points. You've brought up triggers. You've brought up control. You've brought up respect, honesty, and now feeling heard. That feeling heard is so important to avoiding conflict, preventing conflict, reducing conflict that may arise in a situation where it might be heated or escalated, which we'll talk about at other times. But feeling heard, even if you don't get your way.
Right. And it's, for me, it's a big part of navigating conflict successfully, regardless of whether you get your way or you don't get your way. Mm-hmm. If you feel heard in the conversation, that is huge. I mean, if you really feel like your feelings and your needs have been taken into account, have somebody has listened and they have validated and they have understood, and there's still a disagreement, there can still be a disagreement, then you're still navigating that conflict successfully.
Okay. Key points. Well, gee, we only had 30 minutes today. We're going to have to pick this up again at a future show. I can't thank you enough for being here and getting this conversation started, especially with relevant points and a topic that's close to many people, holiday changes in their family. And we again, touched on some very key points. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, you have been listening to The Conflict Show. My name is Beth Myers. Today's guest has been Meredith Richardson, president of the Maine Association of Mediators. We've enjoyed talking about conflict and sometimes how we create it unintentionally. Now, today's sound mixing, huge kudos to Zach LaPierre for helping us out. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.